On June 18th, I took two cabs, two planes, and three trains to join Debbie, Melissa, and Taylor, and Christian, our former pastor, in Portland, Oregon, for a convening of the first meeting of cohort churches that are part of Christian's Future Church Pilot Project. Debbie is the project manager. There were eight churches represented in this cohort, from Brooklyn to Portland to St. Paul's to Houston to Cincinnati to Marble Mount, Washington. There are 24 churches total in this project. We started off with a dinner church service, St. Lydia style. Taylor and Melissa did music, Christian presided, Debbie sermonized, and I served the service led. It was lovely. But as time went on, and we got to know the other churches better, we realized we aren't as non-traditional as some other churches. For example, Wild Church meets on Sundays in nature and does not use scripture, but only poetry and spiritual readings. They also take a 20-minute walk, and when they return, what they experience becomes a sermon. Most of their congregants are retired folks who don't need to be preached to. Mm-hmm. Or, at Queer Enough in Portland, they don't have a building or a space. Queer affirming folks gather at a craft circle or a park, and they minister to each other based on the needs of their people. They don't really say how they are ministering, but if someone needs, let's say, housing, and they find someone to offer housing, then housing becomes a mission. Shawnee, with a master's degree in theology, is being paid to pastor this missionary and is not ordained. Or Shelby's Table, based in St. Paul, Minnesota, which provides meals and fellowship from a food truck. They park in the church parking lots or at parks and meet at 2 feet and minister to the people they serve. But and, our catchphrase for the time we spent in Portland, it was more about the people. The people doing God's work in whichever ways they feel called to do the work. Humans full of humility, care, compassion, and creativity. I asked Larissa to suggest the scripture for today, and when she suggested Romans 16:1-16, the subtitle of this reading was The Greeting. I then asked Naomi to restructure the reading to look like a poem so we could engage with it better. I felt this was perfect for today, since while we were in Portland together, it was so special for this group of perfectly imperfect folks greeting each other and getting to know who they are and what they are trying to do. But it was not all business. Yes, there was time to commiserate about the ELCA, the Ecumenical Lutheran Church of America, the denomination of which we and the other churches in this project are part of, and have a wonderful workshop on engaging with scripture by including wonderings and noticings, or the business part of the project. But there was time for fun and other ways to get to know each other better. It would be a gathering of non-traditional Lutherans without a wine tasting, or rather a wine drinking, playing games and outings to a drag show, putt-putt in a pub, or a church with a pipe organ in a bar. Or as Christian likes to call this, not this, you'll hear it, one of his biggest fails turned into a lovely evening. On Thursday evening, which was also Juneteenth, we broke into four groups, with one of each of the leaders from the project. I was in Christian's group, which went to an Italian restaurant jazz club. When we got there seemed to be no reservation for us. But yes, there was. Christian made a reservation for June 5th, which was a few weeks before. So our group really wanted to eat and see, hear jazz. They offered us to sit outside. We feared we wouldn't see or hear the music, but they opened what seemed to be a garage door, and we enjoyed our time together with Mary and the folks from her church, Tikkun Farm in Cincinnati, and saw and heard a wonderful jazz performance with even a spoken word poet honoring Juneteenth. Thus, Christian's big fail turned into a lovely evening. I am excited and rejuvenated to be part of the Future Church Pilot Project. So much gratitude to Christian and Debbie for their work on the project. I'm looking forward to 2027, when all 24 churches will gather somewhere and all God's beloved will again greet each other and be together. And now we'll hear from Taylor.
When I reflect on my time in Portland, one of the things I'm most struck by is the holy scrappiness of the participants and organizations they represent. I think about Shobie's Table, which feeds about 200 people a week, I think, using rescued food, which is food that is fully edible, but would have been thrown out away, and which changes every week. I think about Cindy, the founder of Wild Church, who explained to us that when figuring out where they would gather in nature, the main thing was being close to a bathroom. I got to hear a story of someone making their way to seminary without an undergraduate degree and while living with the constant burden of debt, and how another person found a way out of the official Lutheran requirement of serving in a traditional style parish for 3 years and instead got to start their own mission. This kind of scrappiness feels holy to me because it is the way of nature, the way scavengers eat the leftover carcasses, the way water always finds a way, the way a funeral home becomes basically an Applebee's with a functioning organ in it. Yes, I went to the organ bar. There was also this kind of holy scrappiness of each organization that is like the scrappiness of a quilt, which sees itself as a specific amalgamation of individual people, all differently textured and colored, all offering their own unique gifts and stories and lessons, as well as their own specific needs. This is exemplified in the founding mission of Tikkun Olam Farm, which is designed as a place for spiritual pilgrims to go who are tired of being preached at and want a community where their own wisdom and experience guides their journey. I especially loved hearing about their monthly sessions titled, How Will We Live?, where people are invited to bring the questions, doubts, and wonderings they are grappling with and discuss them in a group. At Humble Walk, an artist-focused community, they have a time at the end of each of their services called Milestones, where each person is invited to drop a stone into a vessel, announcing a milestone in their life, ranging from a new job to a lost tooth. This is one of their most beloved practices. Now, I've just realized the rest of the sermon is not here, so I'm going to go get my phone very quickly.
Oh, no! Hold,
it's
please.
Gravity, Taylor.
Oh, please. There is gravity.
All right. All right. This is one of their most beloved practices. I felt like we as a group got to embody this idea through a workshop where we were invited to create tableaus for different scenes in a wisdom story. This one of John's disciples going to visit Jesus to see if he's the real deal. We got to bring ourselves, our interpretations, and bodily expression to the characters we were playing, which resulted in a serendipitous group of people representing the people Jesus had healed, each with their own disability, from one with poor vision, holding glasses in front of them, a man with an actual cast on his foot, and a person using crutches. We were making church in a way that only we could in that moment, each contributing something to make a beautiful whole. One of the reflections made during our time together was that this might have been how the early church felt. All of us spread out, disparate, in our own tiny conclaves, finding our own specific ways that we can worship and love God. This is another resonance with nature, biodiversity. And so I am left at the end of this journey with an excitement to see how each species mutates and adapts. Each of these experiments, including St. Lydia's, continues to evolve into something too weird and interconnected and feisty to kill, something made of, for, and by its people. Mm-hmm. Now, Melissa couldn't be with us tonight, so Linda will be reading her reflection.
Melissa's sermon. I am lucky to have friends and family in the Portland area. So before and after the conference, I got to share a bit about St. Lydia's and the Future Church Project with some non-Christian loved ones. As I told them a bit about the other groups we were meeting with, the response I got back was, does that really count as church? It was a question I had myself. Some of these groups avoid using the Bible at their gatherings. Some of their services are centered around meditation. Many don't have sermons, and their gatherings might be described more as events than church services. Meanwhile, St. Lydia's has a full church service with communion, liturgy, a sermon, and a Bible passage every week. Lydians talk about ourselves so often as misfits within the church that it was strange to see how comparatively we're actually extremely orthodox. It made me grieve for the strained relationship we've often had with our synod and the time St. Lydia's has been told we're not Lutheran enough. And I felt jealous of the churches who found their local governance overwhelmingly supportive. I even found myself thinking, half jokingly, look at what these other groups are letting them get away with, calling a church. But the question kept surfacing for me throughout those 3 days. What even is a church? And I noticed within myself the limiting impulse behind that question. And behind the question that my friends and family asked, does just serving a meal or just offering a quiet craft space count as a church? When someone starts to expand a traditional definition of something, I've noticed there often pops up a desire to limit that expansion. We see people wanting to curtail what may feel like a slippery slope. People want to reinscribe and reaffirm boundaries, to say, this counts and this doesn't, to insist on what to include.
What to exclude.
What is a church? It's a question that reminds me of another biblical question, who is my neighbor? As our own Liz Edmond points out in her book, Queer Virtue. Jesus encouraged his followers to expand their definitions of their neighbors to include people they may not have particularly wanted to include, the degenerate, the scandalous, the unclean. Jesus asks us still today to be expansive, to reimagine the relationship between ourselves and others, to erase those boundaries and disrupt the us versus them dichotomy. That, to me, is what makes these groups count as churches. They are blowing up the definition of Christian community according to that simplest, most profound principle of loving their neighbors. It was beautiful to see. I'm still digesting what this experience means for my hopes for St. Lydia's as we search for a new pastor. But for now, I'll say I'm grateful to know there are others out there challenging norms and making space for as many neighbors as possible to receive the accepting, welcoming love of God. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. Tonight, we ask you, what do you wonder or notice? Or to share a reflection inspired by the reading or the sermons. You may also ask Taylor or I any questions that you may have. We'll take a moment of silence before we share.